Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. That toll-free number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online right now, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Back 2,000 years ago, there was a Friday in early spring where Jesus was nailed to a cross, and for a three-hour period, darkness covered the land, the darkest day in human history. And out of that darkest day became the brightest light, and that was the hope of resurrection. And that's the message that we as believers have to give to the world so that they can escape that darkness and experience the life of Jesus Christ himself. Paul talked about that in his book, his letter to the Galatians. He said, Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Everything hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he writes it from all the brothers who are with me. And it's to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What does the gospel message do? It rescues us from this present evil age. It rescues us from the world system that controlled us, that directed us, that moved us along a path it chose for us. We were trapped. We were in bondage to that system. We were dead with no way out until Jesus entered into our world and gave us the light of his life and the hope of resurrection. And as we respond to that by faith, we are rescued from this present evil age. This was written 2,000 years ago, but it's relevant today. Yeah. Just look at the headline news. Just look at all that surrounds us. It is just amazing, and we have a chance to offer rescue to those that are lost, those who are dead in sin, those who need hope, encouragement, and life in Jesus Christ. And only the gospel message can do that. We can try to clean up the present evil age to some degree. We can try to constrain or restrain the evil that's out there, and all of those are noble causes, but it doesn't change the nature of the world system. It doesn't change the nature of the age. People still need to be rescued.
Right.
And so those of us who are believers, it's almost like that Schindler's List movie. They were forming a rescue line for people to escape the evil age of the Nazi regime. Well, that's kind of the world system. It's evil. It's evil by nature. Sin caused that. And there's going to be a time where all that's changed. But right now, what do people need? They need to be rescued. Yeah. What's the way of rescue? The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this edition. Bob Christopher, my name is Bob Davis, and we would love to hear from you right now by phone at 844-322-2742, a toll-free call of the U.S. and in Canada. If you have a question that you've been holding on to for a while, this is a great opportunity to call right now. You can speak directly with Bob and get an answer to that question. If you have some issue you'd like to discuss, great opportunity as well. 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Anthony, who writes to us from Biloxi, Mississippi. He says, if the law is responsible for converting, restoring the soul, according to Psalm 19:7, by showing us what sin is, according to Romans 7:7, and leading us to Christ, according to Galatians 3:23 and 24, can true conversion take place if the law is absent from the gospel presentation?
Well, that's a good question. I think what really God calls us to preach is the message concerning Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the message concerning Christ Jesus. The fact that he died to take away our sins, that he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised back to life. That's the message that brings conversion, and that's the message worth shouting from the rooftops. Now, the law has a place in that story, but it's not the story. The story is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right. So, yes, if somebody just goes out and preaches Jesus, that message can pierce a human heart and bring life to that dead spirit. Others, you know, may need more of a chance to see their own condition apart from Jesus, and that's where the law will play a role. But I think the gospel message, the simple, pure gospel message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient enough to bring life to a dead spirit.
Absolutely. Anthony, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And again, friends, all the lines are wide open right now at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. We would love for you to pose your question on this edition, so call quickly. Plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines. 844-322-2742. Baba Heartache. This is from Michelle, who writes to us from California. She says, I've recently lost my daughter to an automobile accident. She was 18 years old. She truly was a believer in Jesus Christ, and we have been reassured again and again. We look to Colossians 3, 2 through 4, and we understand that her life is hidden in Christ, and that her life is Christ's. But we also know that she will come back with him in glory. I pray for a picture of what that looks like. I absolutely believe it, but selfishly as her mom, I struggle with what our heavenly relationship will be. Do you have any insights on what our heavenly reunion will look like? Will we recognize each other? Maybe it doesn't matter, but to me, as I remain on this earth, it is a constant question to my mind. That's from Michelle in California.
And that's an excellent question, and I think it's one that concerns many of us. We want to know what that future looks like, how it will be. And we have some information in the Word of God, but we're really not going to know in full until we're there, until we're in his very presence. But I think one of the clues as to what it will be like is found in the garden right after Jesus' resurrection. So his body was raised from the dead. He walked out of that tomb, and he stood in the garden. And when Mary first saw him, she thought that he was the gardener.
Yeah.
And then he said something. He said her name, Mary. And in that, there was recognition. And Mary saw Jesus and recognized him for who he was and is. So will we recognize each other in the afterlife? And the answer to that is yes, we will. We are all going to receive resurrected bodies. They're going to be completely different from these bodies that we have here as far as their nature. They will be immortal. They will be imperishable. That's what our bodies will be like. They will be forever bodies. But they will be bodies that will be recognized one by another. So we will know each other. I think we'll be able to recognize each other just as Mary recognized Jesus and just as the disciples on the road to Emmaus recognized Jesus. Their eyes weren't very open to who he was when they first started walking with him, but then something happened and they recognized him for who he was. So yes, I think we will be able to recognize each other. And as far as the nature of our relationships are concerned, they're going to be so much better when, you know, we're totally free of sin.
Yes.
Sin's presence is totally eliminated. We have total freedom. I think the depth of our relationships one to another are going to be far superior to what we can experience here and now.
Yeah.
There's something very special about a mom to her kids. That's a very deep relationship. I think that just gets multiplied 100-fold as far as our heavenly relationships are concerned. So even though we don't know a lot about what all that's going to look like and what it's going to be and what the experience is going to be, I think based on the Word of God, we can look forward to it knowing that it's going to be a million times better than what we have here and now.
Absolutely. Michelle, hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live and you do have a question or something you'd like for us to discuss, why, drop us an email. You can find an email link at basicgospel.net, or I think probably just straight to Bob at basicgospel.net.
Bob at basicgospel.net.
Yeah,
yes, indeed.
So we'd love to hear from you and address your question. And I know that there are many out there, many questions out there. So take advantage of this opportunity. Drop us an email at Bob at basicgospel.net. And, Bob, you know, we have talked in the last few weeks about the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. And so from that to the shootings in Atlanta and Chattanooga, recent events obviously have left a lot of believers wondering, how do I respond to these issues? So our new CD, Pierce the Darkness, addresses these concerns. And Bob, of course, and Richard and I lay out what we think that our response should be in relation to these events in light of the gospel. This response is not obviously fear-based at all. It's not judgmental and it's not condemning, but it is a loving and courageous openness to dialogue with anyone who has questions. And you can stand in the clear teaching of God's Word while offering this overwhelming grace. And this approach is perfect for sharing with your family and your friends. Pierce the Darkness, yours free for a gift of any amount during the month of August to Basic Gospel. And you'll find a donate link on every page at basicgospel.net. Or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That number again, 844-412-2742. Or as I said, the website at basicgospel.net.
Yeah. It's interesting. Many people look at Christians and they identify them as those people who are against, and then they'll have a whole list of things that we're against. And very seldom do people from outside of Christianity look in and say, here's what these people are for.
Right.
And that's what we lay out in this particular CD, the things that we stand for as believers in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to communicate to a lost and dying world, not the things that we're against, but the things that we're for. We're for people having life.
Yes.
That's what the gospel says. That's the message of Jesus, that he came that you might have life.
Abundant life.
That's what we're for. Yeah. We're for you experiencing life to the full. We're for people experiencing freedom from guilt and shame. We're for people enjoying true, genuine freedom as Christ has laid it out for us and has purchased it for us. Those are the things that we're for, and those are the things that we need to bring to the table as far as civil dialogue is concerned. So we would love for you to have this, and we want to put it in your hands. Again, it's a CD called Pierce the Darkness.
Yeah, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during the month of August.
Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk to Kenrick, listening to us on WMCA. Kenrick, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you, sir.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, when you first get started that program, you said that around this time of Friday, Jesus was nailed to the cross. But then I wanted to know, if Jesus was nailed to the cross, because most of the time I'm always hearing preachers saying that Jesus was nailed to the cross on Friday. So if he was nailed to the cross on Friday and he rose on Sunday, and in the Bible it said is that just as Noah was in 3 days in the belly of the fish, he's going to be in the earth 3 days. So that doesn't seem right.
You're right, Kenrick. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't fit the way that we account for time today. And there are certainly many scholars that have argued for Christ's death being on a Thursday. And I've even seen some that have said that it was really a Wednesday that he died. So there's discussion about the actual day of the week. Was it a Friday? And, you know, there's some that hold to that say, you know, the Jewish way of thinking was that any part of one day accounted for a full day. So that's how they kind of reconcile those two passages about 3 days and three nights. They look at the Jewish way of thinking. Others have said, no, let's do the 3 days and three nights, and let's work it all the way back, and let's say this is the day. And all of that is fine, and the discussion of it, I think, is healthy. But in the long run, we just have to realize that Christ died, and then he was raised back from the dead. And that's the message that saves. So, if somebody wants to hold to a Thursday crucifixion, I think that's well and good. It's not somebody saying that, Thursday, it's going to save you. It's the fact that Jesus died for your sins, that he was raised to the from the dead. That's what saves you.
Well, my point was that it's not when he went to the cross. The point was that if he rose on Sunday, which is the fourth day, and in the Old Testament, that God said...
Kendra, let me get you to turn your radio down to the background. We're getting some confusing replay there, if you don't mind. So while he's doing that, I would give the number one more time, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Time on the clock. Kendrick, you back?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Since now it doesn't make any difference that if it's the first, if it's, you went to the cross on Friday, Thursday, or whatever day you went to the cross, but since he rose, they say, on the fourth day, it's kind of confusing there, because the fourth day, which is a Sunday, and so why would they keep the Sabbath on a Sunday when in the Old Testament they say 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath?
Well, and that's part of the argument that Christ died on a Friday, and they had to get his body off the cross before the Sabbath started that Friday evening. So in the Jewish way of thinking, and according to their calendar, the Sabbath actually started at sundown Friday evening and went all the way through sundown on Saturday. And then after sundown, it became the next day. And
right.
So early in the morning on that first day was when Christ was raised from the dead. So he was off the cross, he was in the grave, and then he was raised back to life.
But that was only 2 days.
Well, again, Kendrick, we can try to argue it, and there's no need to. If you want to say he died on a Thursday, more power to you. That's the way you want to reconcile those passages. That's a fine way to do it.
Okay, let me just ask this question: that when Christ had died, is it true that he went to hell to preach to the dead that who had died before he came? Is there any truth in that?
Well, there's passages that. Might lead you to that conclusion. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians, a passage in 1 Peter 3. What we do know is that somehow the announcement that the work was finished, that forgiveness was done, was complete, was given to those saints of old. We believe they were held in a... kind of the upper regions of Hades. Abraham's bosom is how Luke described it in one of his parables. We believe that they were held in that particular place, and that when Jesus died, he went to them and said, "It's finished," and he led them into his very presence. And so along with us, they received the promised blessing. Does that make sense, Kendrick?
Yes.
That's
okay.
How I see it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You.
Hey, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, Bob, we were talking about how to pierce the darkness.
Right.
You know, how do we make a statement in the world today? How do we bring hope? How do we help people? And as we've talked about time and time again, it's the gospel message that the world needs, because within the gospel message, there is a knowledge of God that the world does not have. We are left, before coming to know Christ, with trying to figure out what God is like through our own understanding.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we just get a distortion, sometimes a perversion of what the true God really is. When we look to Christ, we see what God the Father is really all about. Why? Because he came to make him known. So as we end today's broadcast, I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We quoted a verse earlier that Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, or to live it abundantly. And within that statement, we see God's real desire for us. He wants us to experience life. Well, what is that getting at? It's the fact that we are dead spiritually. That's why so many people experience an emptiness inside. They're trying to fill it up. They're looking at everything that the world has to offer, and everything they try still leaves them empty and wanting.
Absolutely.
And Jesus is the only one that can fill that void. He is the only one that can bring life to the dead. That's why he came, so that we could have life everlasting. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart and soul of Christianity. It solves our deepest problem. Many say that their deepest need is forgiveness of sins. And yes, that's a need. We all want to know if there's forgiveness of sins.
Sure.
But there's a much deeper need. And Romans 5:12 says this, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Sin was a big problem, and it brought horrific consequences, spiritual death. So this gospel enters into that world of sin and death and brings hope and a message of life. And here's its promise: "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." And so as we end this broadcast, I end it with this question, or with this hope. You can let go of your past, your guilt and shame, and live each day knowing that God loves you. If you're listening and that's a desire of your heart, maybe it's time for you to receive Jesus, to respond to that good news of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if that's the case, will you simply repeat after me, or say along with me, "Lord Jesus, thank you that you came so that I might have life. Thank you that God raised you from the dead so that I can say with my lips that you are God, that you are Lord, and that I can believe in my heart that you have been raised to life so that I could have everlasting life. And now, by faith, I receive the grace that you have offered, and I ask that you come into my heart and to take up residence inside of me so that I can enjoy your life here and now, and to live confidently of a great hope for the future. And I pray these things in Christ's name, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen."
Amen. Well, Bob, thank you for those thoughts. And friends, there have been many people through the months and years who have supported this broadcast to make it possible for us to bring this truth to you each day, and we so much appreciate your partnership with us. If you can help with a donation at this time, visit us at basicgospel.net or call our operator at 844-412-2742. That's our time for today. So now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis saying, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.